Eric Crossley here with Making a Difference, episode 30. We're not going to control the pandemic. I'd like to first of all say thank you to Dayron Arias, a busy guy down in Florida, my producer, and helping with all the shows. This is the 30th episode of Making a Difference. We want to say thanks to all of our platforms, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and iHeartRadio. And if you happen to catch us on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere else, including LinkedIn, by the way. We want to say also our top five countries have stayed steady once again the past week for our last episode. Number one, the U.S., of course. Number two, Canada. Number three, the United Kingdom. Number four, Germany. And number five, Australia. So once again, thanks again to everyone. We have a show with overwhelming amount of information. We're recording here on Monday, October 26th. We only have 8 days until the election, so lots to come, and we will have at least one more show, possibly two, before the election. I have to mention our lead story, which is going to be a quick mention. Amy Coney Barrett, Donald Trump's third pick for the Supreme Court, has just been confirmed by the Republican-controlled U.S. Senate, and the Democrats did not vote. None of them voted for her, of course, and no Republicans voted against her. But this was a rammed-through effort by Donald Trump. Remember the Republicans in 2016? President Obama was trying to make an appointment after the death of Anton Scalia. March 16th, 2016, after the death of Scalia, a full 8 months, almost 8 months before the election, and the Republicans refused to consider what would have been a fantastic Supreme Court Justice, Merrick Garland. So they said, we had to wait for the election. Can't do it in an election year. He's been president 7 years at the time. Well, guess what? Here we are with Donald Trump, with the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in September, and they've rammed it through because the Supreme Court justice only needs to be approved by the Senate. And the Senate is controlled still by Mitch McConnell. And frankly, the Republicans really don't care about anything to do with a democracy in the United States. So that's where we stand with that. Amy Coney Barrett. And now we also want to mention too that we do want to say thank you to Colombia and also Panama for joining us. And we're excited about that too. But yes, we do have a new Supreme Court justice, and now a 6-3 conservative majority in the Supreme Court, because Amy Coney Barrett is the third justice that Donald Trump has been able to appoint in less than 4 years, rammed through by Mitch McConnell. This time, there wasn't even the beginning to say, well, we have an election coming up in just a few weeks. Maybe we should wait and do it later, after the election at least, when we have a new president, so the new president can decide. But the Republican Party doesn't even think that even the modicum of democracy is going to happen, and so that's the story there. Now, let's put aside the fact that we are unfortunately have a new Supreme Court justice. We'll talk more about that. The name of this episode is We're Not Going to Control the Pandemic, and the reason I changed the name of this episode at the very last minute was because of what we heard yesterday on Sunday, by the way, on CNN. Now, this is Jake Tapper, and this is Merrick Garland. I'm sorry, this is Jake Tapper. And he's got the Jeff Meadows, the White House Chief of Staff. And we're going to hear what Jeff Meadows had to say when being questioned by Jake Tapper on CNN just yesterday. We'll take a listen to that right now.
We're not going to control the pandemic. We are going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigation.
Why aren't we going to get control of the pandemic?
Because it is a contagious virus, just like
we're not going to control the pandemic. That was Jeff Meadows, White House Chief of Staff, with Jake Tapper on CNN. At one time, we had the entire clip. The clip may have disappeared. It doesn't matter. We got the key thing. This is the White House Chief of Staff, Jeff Meadows, who till the very end will kiss Donald Trump's you-know-what and put everything into getting Donald Trump reelected above the United States of America. Now, so the chief of staff of Donald Trump basically just threw the towel in. We're not going to control the pandemic. We're giving up. Now he said, oh, we're going to keep trying to get medications and we're going to do this and that. And, you know, we're going to keep trying to get therapeutics. He used that several times, by the way, during that interview. Now, therapeutics. I mean, he's just speaking out of his you-know-what. So that's Jeff Meadows, and that's the Trump administration as of yesterday, Sunday, October 25th, pretty much throwing in the towel and saying, we're not going to control the pandemic. So obviously, that's throwing the towel in. That's saying, you know what? We're going to try to keep getting a vaccine because that might help if somehow Trump gets elected. We might do this and that. But what they're really saying is we're going to lose the election. Joe Biden's going to be your next president. And just for the heck of it, you know, we're going to keep throwing out and pretending we're going to do something. And we're not. Because if we'd done something back in February and March when this started, or at least by April, the president said it was going to get hot in April and the pandemic would be gone. Let's go back and just hear some of these clips. Well, there's actually some, I'll give you some quotes from Donald Trump by date, what he said about the coronavirus. March 15th, this is a contagious virus. It's incredible, but it's something that we have tremendous control over. March 16th, if you're talking about the virus, no, that's under control for any place in the world. I was talking about what we're doing is under control. I'm not talking about the virus. That's when the president said it was under control. March 17th, we're going to win, and I think we're going to win faster than people think. I hope. That was a hope. And then March 23rd, America will again and soon be open for business. Parts of our country are very lightly affected. That was saying on March 23rd, the president was saying basically that, you know, there's parts of the country that are red states and they're all fine. So everything's fine. March 25th, there are large sections of our country probably can go back to work much sooner than other sections. It's hard not to be happy with the job we're doing. That I can tell you. In other words, there's large sections of the country that are going back to work, and those are the red states, the lightly populated states mostly. And everybody's going to be just happy with the job we do. It's a contest to the president. It's a contest between the blue and the red states, and it's never being just president and actually acting like a president for every citizen in this country. March 31st, it's going to go away, hopefully at the end of the month, if not soon after, April 3rd. The CDC is advising the use of non-medical cloth for covering as an additional voluntary public health measure. So it's voluntary. You don't have to do it. In other words, what he was saying back then on April 3rd, the president was saying, you don't have to do it because I don't want to make you have to do it, because the far right is going to use this to help me win the election again. And then we had some other things happen, and we're going to hear right now from, this is from Joe Biden, hopefully the next future president of the United States. And this comes to us via CNN, and let's listen to Joe Biden right now.
Tell the people it's dangerous now. What should they do about the danger? And you say, I take no responsibility.
Let me talk about your two.
Excuse me, I take full responsibility. It's not my fault that it came here. It's China's fault. And you know what? It's not Joe's fault that it came here either. It's China's fault. They kept it from going into the rest of China for the most part, but they didn't keep it from coming out to the world, including Europe and ourselves.
So the president takes responsibility, but he's not to blame. In other words, I cheated on my wife, but it's not my fault. Our marriage fell apart. I cheated on her, you know, tons of times. She finally found out, but it's not my fault because she found out. It's really her fault. I mean, it's absolutely astonishing. The president never takes responsibility. He never does what a president is supposed to do. Now it's election time. I'll grant you that. But we have the worst pandemic we've had since 1918 and the Spanish flu, and it may end up being worse than that. He said, quote unquote, the president said, we're learning to control the pandemic, to live with it. People are learning to die with it. That's what Joe Biden said. The president said, I take no responsibility. The president takes no responsibility, and the president basically is saying, you know what? That's what's going to happen. We're going to have people die, but I still want to win a re-election. Now let's go back to the president and what he said about it and continue by date. April 29th, it's going to go away. It's going to leave. It's going to be gone. It's going to be eradicated. May 8th, this is going to go away without a vaccine. May 8th, he said that. Unbelievable. May 14th, if we didn't do any testing, we would have very few cases. June 15th, if we stop testing right now, we'd have very few cases, if any. So the president said that, you know, we just stop testing, it's going to go away. I mean, a two-year-old, a three-year-old has more intelligence than this. The president said, if we just stop testing, what an asinine thing to say, and what a disgusting thing for the rest of the world, for our president to say, because it shows complete ignorance and stupidity. He doesn't even know what he's saying. You know, if we stop testing, well, yeah, the numbers will go down because we're not testing, and we don't know that we have 225,000 people now dead in this country of coronavirus, of COVID-19. And this president is still attacking the Democrats and attacking the blue states and attacking the people. July 19th, the president said, it's going to disappear and I'll be right. Again, what's it all about? It's about the president being correct. July 21st, it will disappear. August 5th, no question in my mind, it will go away. September 8th, we're rounding the turn. September 16th, I think by the election, COVID will be even lower. It's going to be very low. And then on October 15th, we're rounding the term on the pandemic. October 19th, people are tired of COVID. People are tired of hearing Fauci and all those idiots. All those idiots. Dr. Anthony Fauci, one of the people who was most responsible for all of the research and all of the fighting to get HIV/AIDS treated, one of the reasons so many people are alive today, one of the people who stood out from the beginning and said with this COVID-19 crisis that we needed to make sure people wore masks. And what did the president do? Now he calls him an idiot. Dr. Fauci. Stunning. And we still have, what, 40% of the people that are going to vote for this idiot? And you wonder why Hitler got to power in Germany back in the day. That's why. Because there's so many ignorant people out there. Now, my original title for this episode was Out of the Woodwork, but we had to change it to We're Not Going to Control the Pandemic. Between now and Election Day, in the next 8 days, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris just need to run that clip over and over. This is Mark Meadows. This is Chief of Staff. He speaks for the president. We're not going to control the pandemic. We're not going to control the pandemic. That's pretty self-explanatory. Well, we're going to try to do some therapeutics, and we're going to definitely get a vaccine because, you know, that will, you know, do whatever. But we're not going to control it. We're not going to do it. It's just flat out not going to happen. That's the solution that this president has come up with after all these months of saying how it's going to disappear, it's going to go to thin air, it's going to fly away. You're never going to hear from the pandemic again once it gets hot in April. That's what he said over and over and over. He said it over and over. And yet we still have 40% of the people voting for him. Stunningly inept. We'll be right back. Hi, Eric Crossley back with Making a Difference. Thanks again to Dayron Arias down in Florida, making it through down there. And of course, to my partner, Senior Social. We'll hear more from him coming up very soon. But with Making a Difference, again, maybe my favorite title, not that it makes me happy, but a favorite title of an episode ever, We're Not Going to Control the Pandemic. And please repeat that over and over to any of your friends or family who still might be voting for Donald Trump. And remember that the Chief of Staff of the United States of America, the President of the United States, he said that. He said it on CNN with Jake Tapper, Jeff Meadows. Jeff Meadows said, we're just not going to control it. and throwing the towel in could have been another name of this episode. Now, let's look at a couple of recent polls. By the way, the last polls coming out today still show Joe Biden with a 10 or 9 or 10 point lead nationally and still looking likely to win the Electoral College in the election in just 8 days on November 3rd. But cautious. Hillary Clinton was leading in 2016. She still won the popular vote by almost 3 million, but lost the Electoral College. So in the next episode, we're going to be looking closely at all of that. But some good news, at least on this Gallup poll, this comes to us from 538.com. Do Americans approve of Trump's response to the coronavirus crisis? And this was done on October 25th. 57.4% disapprove, 39.7% approve. Now, there again is the 40% of people that no matter what Trump does, as he said one time, I can go out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, kill somebody, and they wouldn't care. But still, that's a substantial difference. And if nearly 60% disapprove of his handling, if you want to call it that, of the coronavirus crisis, then one would think it's pretty much a lock for Joe Biden. But remember, Trump might try to steal the election. So that's a point, too. Now, what would I like to do right now is play a little clip. And this comes to us, this comes to us from former President Obama. And he had some words in Philadelphia just the other day at a rally.
Tweeting at the television doesn't fix things. Making stuff up doesn't make people's lives better. You've got to have a plan. You've got to put in the work. And along with the experience to get things done, Joe Biden has concrete plans and policies that will turn our vision of a better, fairer, stronger country into a reality. We literally left this White House a pandemic playbook that would have shown them how to respond before the virus reached our shores. They probably used it to, prop up a wobbly table somewhere. We don't know where that playbook went. 8 months into this pandemic, cases are rising again across this country. Donald Trump isn't suddenly going to protect all of us. He can't even take the basic steps to protect himself. And just yesterday, when asked if he'd do anything differently, Trump said, not much. Really? Not much? Nothing you can think of that could have helped some people keep their loved ones alive? So Joe's not going to screw up testing. He's not going to call scientists idiots. He's not going to host a super spreader event at the White House.
So right there, we see exactly the crux of everything. First of all, President Obama, whether you liked him or didn't like him, agreed with his policies mostly or didn't, is irrelevant. George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush, even Ronald Reagan, at the very least, they were presidential. Now, you've got this moron. You've got the worst president in the history of the United States, Donald Trump. And now you have Barack Obama coming out, President Obama, and hitting him hard. By the way, the reason you're hearing horns blowing there was that rally was actually in the parking lot at the stadium there in Philadelphia, and that was Friday night. But President Obama is going to be a key ally down the stretch because Joe Biden served with President Obama for 8 years. Not everything was 100% successful, but they sure did a lot more than Donald Trump, and they were somebody that at least you felt, well, President, Vice President, we can be proud they're representing us. Now we look at Donald Trump and we say, what has happened to our democracy? President Obama said Donald Trump isn't going to suddenly protect all of us. He can't even take the basic steps to protect himself. This is not a reality show. This is reality. Of course, that's a jibe at Trump's reality show. We have to live with the consequences of Trump proving himself incapable of taking the job seriously. Incapable of taking the job seriously. Well said by President Obama. The United States set a daily record for new COVID-19 cases for the second day in a row on Saturday, and may have done it Sunday. I haven't got to those stats yet. For Saturday's statistics, at least nearly 89,000, with a further surge expected as the cold weather arrives. The virus has now claimed more than 224,000 American lives with no end in sight. Right now, pretty much all the scientists, the people that Donald Trump, like Dr. Fauci, Donald Trump calls idiots, all the experts are saying we're now hitting a third wave in the United States, right at the time we have our election. So it's a super critical time. The question is, can we hold out for almost three more months of having this lunatic, the worst president in our history, in office and make it till January 20th? And the other big question is he going to try to steal the election or stop the election? Now, we've got a new Supreme Court justice, Amy Coney Barrett, and she will take office right away. She'll start working right away. So she has the potential to impact everything. And if somehow this goes, something goes to the Supreme Court, then we have to wonder, will the Supreme Court justices, any, all of them, or just some of them, say, oh yeah, this is a democracy. We have to protect it. We just don't know. Now, the presidential campaign, this comes to us, by the way, from the Washington Post, Philip Rucker and Josh Dempsey and Amy Wang. The presidential campaign was roiled this weekend by a fresh outbreak of the novel coronavirus at the White House that infected at least five aides or advisors to Vice President Pence, a spread that President Trump's top staffer acknowledged Sunday he had tried to avoid disclosing to the public. So we have at least five more additional people in Vice President Pence's office who have tested positive for COVID-19. With the election 8 days away, the new White House outbreak spotlighted the administration's failure to contain the pandemic as hospitalizations surge across much of the United States and daily new cases hit all-time highs. Keep in mind that a lot of the rural states, the ones that President Trump was triumphing about a few months ago, hardly anybody's going to get sick. Everybody's going to be fine. All the people that love me can go back to work. Those states are now getting hit hard. And it's per capita numbers you have to look at, because a state like Wyoming only has 700,000, South Dakota only about a million people. You have to look at per capita, and you have to look at how many hospitals and what their hospital capacity is. We have problems in so many states. And one of those is Utah, which we'll talk about before the show ends here. Now, Trump retweeted a post this month to his 87 million followers suggesting former Vice President Biden and President Obama may have had six SEAL team members killed and that Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden was still alive. A link in the post alleged that the person gunned down in the U.S. Special Forces raid on May 2, 2011, was not bin Laden, but a body double. The president said, quote, on Twitter, I don't take a position. Trump later said in defense of the retweet, I'll put it out there and people can decide for themselves. In other words, we'll put out outright lies. Osama bin Laden was killed thanks to President Obama and Vice President Biden, and to the administration that led the charge ahead of time and watched it happen. He was killed in 2011. And now this idiot, this traitor to the United States, the worst president in our history, is coming out and trying to say it never happened. Because conspiracy groups, the president puts everything in the world he wants on Twitter and says anything he wants, quotes anyone he wants. He doesn't get banned. I got banned because I put a quote of his on there. Stunning, absolutely stunning. So we have to really look right now at this election and say, you know, we're coming up on really the most important election in the history of the United States, at least in modern times. Right now, we have a president who is completely out of control. We've read you his quotes, and you've heard the show. We've been talking about Donald Trump since 2015. Now, Mark Meadows, though, again, the headline of this show, we're not going to control the pandemic. We played you that quote. That was Mark Meadows, chief of staff to Donald Trump, the top person next to the vice president, maybe above Pence in the White House. Mark Meadows, who will do anything for Donald Trump to get him elected, said, we're not going to control the pandemic. We're going to control the fact that we get vaccines, therapeutics, and other mitigations. Now, Joe Biden, his reply was this. This isn't a slip by Meadows. It was a candid acknowledgement of what President Trump's strategy has clearly been from the beginning of this crisis, to wave the white flag of defeat and hope that by ignoring it, the virus would simply go away. Biden said that in a statement, and then he also said it hasn't and it won't. In other words, time's up. The president's throwing in the towel. He hopes that somehow he can steal this election. Cheap, probably, because he's still talking about millions of ballots out there that are, you know, illegal. I mean, he's making things up, getting his base riled, getting the people who aren't paying attention riled even more. There hasn't been very little fraud, actually, so far, but one of them they found was up in Massachusetts, where they found a ton of ballots, and those would be Democratic ballots, almost definitely, that were burned. So be aware that Donald Trump and his people, the people who support him, the people who are still behind him, and that includes the vice president, those people will do anything to keep the White House. I wanted to mention before the show ends that among the 38 states, and this is coming to us from the Washington Post, by the way, Paulina Villegas and Jacqueline Dupree, among the 38 states that have shown an increase from October 15th to 22nd, today's the 26th, New Mexico had the highest with a 41% increase week over week, followed by Connecticut with 27%, according to data tracked by the Washington Post. Hawaii is the only state that did not report hospitalizations. 14 states have also reported new highs in hospitalized COVID-19 patients over the past week. That's Kentucky, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Iowa, Utah, Montana, West Virginia, Missouri, and Kansas. The rising number of infections has worried health experts who say the current wave is setting the stage for an even greater surge as we head to the colder months and people spend more times indoors and at holiday gatherings. The other concern we talked about, folks, is watching out for the hospitals. Again, this comes from Utah. On Thursday, Utah health officials issued a distressing warning that a pandemic is pushing the state's health system to the brink. Quote, our major hospitals have started declining new patients in their ICUs and are activating their surge plans now. The stress level is increasing every day. Utah's coronavirus response team tweeted during a news conference. Quote, if this trend continues, it won't be long before we'll start seeing people hospitalized in the Mountain America Expo Center. So Utah, which is a super red state, is saying they're at hospital capacity. That means that somebody who has a heart attack or has coronavirus or has a brain aneurysm, they're not going to be treated because we don't have any room in the ER, in the ICU. Absolutely stunning, folks. And we hope and we pray that we'll have a new president in just 8 days, and a new president inaugurated January 20th, that we'll get our country back. And we hope and pray that. We thank you for listening. I'm Eric Crossley with Making a Difference. We're not going to control the pandemic. The words from the Trump White House that we close with. Thanks for listening.